Good evening and welcome. This is the August 26, 2013 Glen Ellyn School District 41 Board of Education regular meeting. Time is now 7:35. Welcome everyone to our brand new and beautifully renovated Hadley Library Media Center. It's just a fantastic facility, and we can't wait to let the kids enjoy it. I'll call the meeting to order. Mr. Kenwood, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Flags over here, everyone.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Stecker, roll call, please.
Mr. Escalante?
Here.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Mr. Elker?
Here.
Here.
Nelson.
Here.
Here.
Here. Presentations, reports, and initiatives. There are no presentations scheduled for this evening. Public participation. Is there anyone present who wishes to address the board, Mrs. Stecker? Do we have...
Over here, Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Cooper, have you turned in your sheet?
Yes.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address the board?
Mr.
Rath is going to be filling a sheet out and turning it in. When you're ready, Mr. Cooper, please limit your comments to 3 minutes, and please remember to be appropriate.
Dr. Gordon, you said to hold you accountable for any future bad spending. It didn't take long. From the latest check number 15803, $2,000 for dialed action sports for bicycle trips today at hand. 8 people go to Math Solutions Conference, costing us $1,253. Why 8? Assuming that the information still needs to be disseminated to other teachers, why not send 2? Anyone else can go on their own dime. You need to set some parameters on these conference expenditures. Also, check 15756 to Math Solutions for some services on August 19th for $7,600. Was this covering the same information presented at the conference? I ask the question because I don't know. Check number 15749 for $1,274 for 5 employees flying to Boston for some conference. When are we going to show some fiscal responsibility when it comes to travel expenses with District 41? The 1274 is just airfare. After hotels, car, and of course, meals, how much will this end up running? So 3 separate cases, bike trips, 8 people going to the conference, 5 people flying to Boston. I'm holding you accountable, and I can do some answers. Answers on how and when things are going to change. Or are they going to stay the same and District 41 will spend whatever on whatever? Mr. Board President, I've tried to inform you here and on the forum of numerous violations of board policy and spending in many instances of wasting taxpayer dollars. This effort to uncover all of this seems to have been met with y'all. You pointed me to the board policies on the district's website and not much else. The bulk of the myriad of misspending that I pointed out has not been responded to. Your belief that Dr. Gordon exonerated any past spending violations is not correct, as I pointed out to you on the forum on Saturday. It is your job to represent me and the other taxpayers. When do you plan on serving us? If you don't plan on dealing with the misspending, I've got to wonder why you're up there. Doing nothing is not an option.
Thank you, Jeff. Anyone else? Mr. Rath, are you ready?
I'm ready. I can use a little extra time.
Sure. Is there anyone else? Do you want to wait till the end of the meeting? Well, it's either now or at the end of the meeting. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Okay, your choice.
I can speak after the meeting, too. I've got a lot on my mind.
Okay.
First off, I'd like to compliment the board. It's something I really haven't done over the last 9 months. And the response that I received from comments that I submitted to them after the last meeting. 3 board members replied to my comments about the proposed innovation lab position. I understand I may not have the whole story because I'm on this side of the tables, but judging from the comments I received, I think you're just to see. It's been stated by Dr. Gordon and discussed ad nauseum by some of you that our facilities are lacking and that moving to portable should be our top priority. This phased approach towards solving the facilities issues, as it was termed by Mr. Black, is doing a disservice to our kids, the teachers, and ultimately the rest of the District 41 community. Under this plan on tonight's agenda, after the dust settled on phase one, in 3 years we will still have portable classrooms at all of our schools. If there is a plan for phase two, it hasn't been set yet, only discussed. The current proposal has the right idea. Start at Ben Franklin first because it would be the easiest of the elementary schools to reconstruct. However, rather than rebuilding to simply add lab space, why not add a sensible addition onto the school at the same time to eliminate portable classrooms? By doing this, you've added the nice to have of a lab space for STEAM instruction and moved everyone under permanent housing, all within the time frame of summer and early fall construction schedule. It will show the community that you are serious about improving instruction and eliminating the portables at the same time. And the best argument for this idea is that we have the funds to make it happen. If this idea went well, then the other schools would do the same in the following years, and we could finally put the portables out to pasture. Well ahead of a phased-in approach, and without domestic boundary or referendum ballots. If I could recommend to the board, please table this proposal or send it back to the Finance Committee and ask FGM to come up with a plan that would allow, that would follow this idea's timeline. Speaking of the portables, some of you may know that the portable in the back of Lincoln was closed and the teachers who would have had their classes there were moved inside. The rumor as to the reason it was closed was because of a bug infestation. If this is true, the administration needs to come clean with the Lincoln parents and let us know what the plan is to remediate the situation.
30 seconds, Kevin.
I don't know what the financial arrangement is with this portable classroom. We all seem to know that it's reached the end of its useful life. District 200 has looked into adding portables because of overcrowding at some of their schools this year, and was told that a new one could be set up within 1 or 2 days. The Lincoln community first found out about this portable being closed at meet and greet last Thursday. My question is, how long did the administration know this portable wasn't going to be ready for use? The beef-wittedness and initiative to replace this structure before school started today is mind-boggling.
That's time, Kevin. Can you please sum up?
Thankfully, neither of my children would have used this building, but I feel sorry for the children in these classes because their transition plans just got a lot more difficult under this convoluted pandemic initiative. We're not getting off on the right foot to start, and we shouldn't blame the teachers if things don't go well for those children at the start of this year. Right now, we're paying for a portable stick unused in the back of the school. We're going to spend the money. We might as well get it replaced. This should have been done before today.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Action items. Consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like to remove from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the reports and recommendations contained in the consent agenda, which include the Human Resources Personnel Report, which includes employment recommendations, resignations, and internal transfers, the Finance, Facilities, and Operations section, including the Treasurer's Reports, Investment Schedule, Monthly Revenue Expenditure Summary Report, Summary of Bills and Payroll, School District Payment Order, Vandalism Damage Report, Disposal of Surplus Property Report, and the 2013-2014 FOIA Report, and other matters, including the approval of board meeting minutes of the August 12, 2013 public hearing and regular board meeting, and of the August 12, 2013 Board of Education regular meeting closed session, and authorization for remaining payment of superintendent's transitional expenses per employment contract. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Ellis, second by Mr. Helger. Excuse me. Roll call, please, Mrs. Tucker.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Elger?
Yes.
Mr. Buchensky?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Superintendent's recommendations. Planning for elementary school innovation labs. At our August 12th meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to allocate $300,000 that is currently budgeted in 2014 for soil samples, schematic designs, and hiring a construction manager as a part of the planning for the district's elementary school innovation labs. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Nelson, second by Mr. Ellis. Discussion.
Hard to see everybody. Sorry.
I know.
You know, we just heard one of our parents talk about concerns about the innovation labs and the movement forward. At the last board meeting, we talked about, and I know that I was one of the folks that responded to Mr. Rath's email, and that part of making an informed decision needs to be around the kind of work that these dollars need to be put toward, which are what Sam just described, the soil boring, the schematics, et cetera. Involved in that collection of data is also what might be possible when those buildings, and correct me if I'm wrong, to be able to do some other addition or building. And if I'm inaccurate about that, I want to know, but that's part of the due diligence around having to spend those dollars so that we can know, based on what we find in those buildings, what might be acceptable or doable, depending on the cost.
You are correct. The soil samples, the surveying, would help us go forward with any further phasing with this current plan around the innovation labs or any other additions to schools.
Right. I just want to clarify that because I went back to my notes and I know that that was listed. I don't know that it was as explicit as it needed to be, but I wanted to clarify that.
Thank you.
So this is money we have to spend to determine the next course of action. I mean, we have to do this because you can't build on
correct
limestone.
Correct. You have to ensure that what we're doing is fiscally responsible so we can come back to you and say the soil borings, the surveying, the information that experts in the field are saying that this is an appropriate thing to do to move forward with.
Okay. So anything? It's not one of the things that you know, I was always to say is, you know, why can't we just build on the back of Ben Franklin? I mean, we've got a parking lot there. Let's just do it.
You would need soil samples.
Because I need to make sure that you can put structure in.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I assume the deliverables are more than that in this case, right? I mean, I assume the deliverables...
The schematic drawings.
The schematics which go out for bids and whatever else is necessary.
Correct.
To make sure more than just the soil.
Yes.
Don't we have soil samples from when we did the underground retention?
We have parking lot samples that we did probably 4, 5, 6 years ago when we went through and started updating our parking lots. This is more work that could be done actually within a building. They're proposing doing buildings like the Lincoln to see how that works, how this boring will work in that area, as well as the other buildings. So we need this as sort of a data point as we start planning for the future use of our facilities.
Including Spalding, right, Bob?
One of the things I'd like to see at a minimum for Spalding, if we don't have, is a survey. We're ordering 5 surveys from a survey of land.
Well, but Joe, we're not really focused on Spalding. Recommendation is only the...
I understand. One of the things I think is important, though, Spalding is an asset that we have, and we're going to do something with it in the future. And if we might have a survey, it would be good information to know if we do have a survey or we don't. But if you're ordering 5, the cost for one more is minimal relative to ordering one by itself. So it's something I would like to look into. What's important is if you sell that asset, if you're not going to use it, you need a survey for closing to sell it. So it's a needed part of that equation. And it's something that's been unknown, as I was surprised to find we didn't have surveys on the other schools. Or if we did, they were so old from when we built them in 1929 or 1949.
The last surveys were probably good during the renovations after the referendum in 97, 98. That's why we're looking for updated surveys at this time.
Okay. Any other thoughts on the recommendation on the table?
One other thought, I think in the recommendation, the board report recommendation we received, in the funding, it talked about that the Board of Education expressed an interest in using reserve funding for the significant capital. Once again, that's in the future. This is more about the due diligence items. I understand that. But one thing I want to state, and I think I stated it in the 717 meeting, before we have full consideration of any one source of funding, I certainly, as a board member, would like to understand all sources of funding that we have out there. Oftentimes, when you make one funding source, you then limit your constraints or can add constraints on other funding sources. And how they interplay, I think, is very important for any future improvements that we'll make. It's just a statement, but I wanted to restate my position when we met on July 17th when we had the facilities workshop.
Any other
questions? Yeah, I think it's fair to point out, too, that tonight we're sitting in a room that was just renovated under the same kind of an idea that came to the board. It took a while to do this. Not only did we do this room this last year, but painted the entire facility. And to do this, there are a bunch of necessary steps that we go through when we plan this, and it takes a while to get through that. And in July of this year, we had a special meeting to go back through and check with our master facility plan to see where we were at and where we're going and what steps we need to take before we can make these final decisions on where we are going to go. And I think at that point, we agreed that this was the next necessary step to take, so we had the right data, so that when we get this information back, we can then look again at options before we move forward. So that's what this step is about tonight, and that's why this is on the plan.
Thank you, Dean. Anyone else? Drew, John? Well, I'll add my two cents. I always thought that this was a good idea, and I have probably beaten a dead horse by saying the phases that I use and Mr. Rath quoted me on, and I honestly believe that this is phase one of a master facility plan that will eliminate the portables in our district. Phase one is a phase, in my mind anyway, that we can get done tomorrow if we want to. The elimination of the portables, we as a board or we as a district cannot do alone. We need partners, and our partners are our stakeholders and our voters. And, that's something in the future, and that's something that we'll have to put forth a good idea, and hopefully we'll get some support for it. But as of now, with the funding source we have, and I agree with Joe in that, this is an option. And we're not at the option stage now. We're at the let's see if it's even feasible stage. And this $300,000, in my mind, is money well spent to determine things we need to know anyway. And we're going to need to know this information if we end up putting additions on our schools. We're going to have to do the same thing. So why not do it now, see where we are, and we'll go forward.
So are you... I mean, as I had voiced in an email, to do it at all the schools, I thought we would do it at one and move forward that way. But the response I got, and I just want to confirm it, is that essentially Ben Franklin is the easiest to do within the timeline. Therefore, we can get that done if we move forward now. The other schools will require some additional work, be it through county or whatever other authority that needs to be involved due to some other conditions, and that's why we need to start the survey work or whatever we're calling this work now so that we can meet a timeline to go for a 2014-15 build-out of those STEM labs and those facilities. In other words, just so I'm clear, we can't just do spend for this and then come back 6 months from now or after Ben Franklin is done and do the spend, because then we will lose a year due to the nature of the work required at the other sites.
Correct.
And the nature of the work would be a lot of the stormwater work, right? I mean, that's what we're
investment going to be for everything that is involved whenever we touch one of our buildings or one of our sites. When we did the Ben Franklin project, or even this project here when we put the addition on, it was about 18 months from the time that we started sort of initial conversations until we started construction because of planning and permitting and so on. It's a prolonged period of time. We just feel as though because of the nature of the preliminary work and the backbone of the work that we've done at Franklin over the past few years with small water and so forth, that would be our best approach to be able to get a project done during the summer of 2014.
Ron, did you want to add something? If you didn't, I don't want to.
If you don't mind, I'll just give a real quick overview of the deliverables to Mr. Jones' question, too.
Ron, could you introduce yourself, too?
I'm Ron Richardson, an FDM architect. what our plan is, to design these additions and the remodeling scope in a fashion and with a level of detail that would give a construction manager a chance to then do accurate estimates so that you get good, solid numbers based on market conditions. And we're going to be doing our exploratory work with soil borings and surveys and stormwater design. Because, as Bob said, that's always a tripwire, a big issue to get towards the village. So that's what we're going to do. And then we will also be giving you interior renderings, because the focus of this effort is, of course, the steam labs. And short-term, they may be classrooms. Long-term, they may be able to be steam labs, because it's a little different at each site. But the goal is to design and implement the steam program into the elementary. So due to the budget constraints, it's not really a chance to replace all the mobile, but we're starting to. It's a process of starting to replace mobile in permanent space. So at the end of the this exercise, sometime in October, we'll be getting renderings of the spaces, just like you did with the Hadley renderings. You get an idea of what these steam labs look like. You'll be getting design information and accurate budget and estimate data sometime in October. And then that will allow you then to make a decision to move forward with perhaps Franklin and maybe some of the other work. But yes, that the other three sites would then sort of lag that timeline because it would be more likely have to be more research with the village and the stormwater and other things. I guess the goal would be to get Franklin going next summer, and then the other buildings would then follow as they can.
It's Sam, thank you for drawing Ron in. I think there's two thoughts in my head because right before the meeting, we also got an email with some concerns about current use of space and the Lincoln portables around that as well. And I'm going to ask Dr. Gordon during the superintendent's report to clarify the Lincoln portable situation for folks that are unclear on it or unaware of it, and I think it'd just be good information. And that one of the takeaways for me was the energy that is needed in the community to really talk about how do we really get rid of portable classrooms. And it's as everyone here knows, it's been a very long, protracted conversation. The previous board took what was described by others, and I would agree with that, as a very bold decision to look at land. We are not at ultimately resolved of that, but the complexity of this is deep, and it helps me, as well as I hope folks in this room, to understand that this is not an isolated conversation about let's put in the labs because everybody else is doing it, let's do it. We've moved toward a broader discussion about this to look at how do we adapt some other use of space so that we can move forward. And that, I hope that folks believe me when I say this, but that has always been the agenda of the board as long as I've been on it, and boards prior to it, the Master Facility Planning Committee. It's been about how do we keep moving programs forward that drive our facilities, but recognizing this is a very difficult nut to crack with this community as well, to really understand. And just as a reminder, and I think this is part of the challenge, and I understand the pushback on spending $300,000. It is not a small amount of money. We take this very seriously. But part of our challenge, too, is that only 20% of the community, our tax base, has children in our schools. Only 20%. So the people connected, having children day-to-day, really understanding some of the needs and interests, is a pretty small percentage of the population. So, I welcome the concerns about let's deal with the portables, because we need those voices to help frame that message for the larger community. You know, I welcome that. So thank you for explaining that.
In respect to the STEAM labs, I think it would be more appropriate to refer to these spaces as flexible learning spaces. And right now you're sitting in a flexible learning space. And that room behind us that's partitioned off can be moved apart, and we can fit 250 people in this room. So then we can reconfigure the room and make it separate rooms. So when we're talking about what we're looking at now, it isn't like we're going to build a STEAM lab and that's what it is and it will always stay that way. It's going to be flexible learning spaces that we're going to decide whatever the challenges are of the day, whatever the programs are that drive the facilities of the day, how to use those flexible spaces. If you look at Lincoln in the drawing that was on that, and I don't know if people here have an opportunity to that, and you walk in and there's that circular rotunda that you kind of walk around, that is not a useful space to do educating in. And we reconfigure that space and put some rooms in there, we can use that to educate children. Right now, we use that to send them in a circle to get around to the other parts of the building. So that's the intent here, and I think we do ourselves a disservice if we just decide that it's STEAM Labs, because it's a flexible learning space, just like this one that we're looking at putting in.
All very good points. We're a little ahead of where we are, since we've got to take a step back and focus on what's in front of us is the $300,000. Any other comments on the recommendation? Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Pachinski?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Superintendent's report.
I'll start by addressing Mr. Cooper's statement of violations. There are no violations. There is a disagreement in how he would like us to spend money, but I'll make it very clear, there has been no violation of expenditure of funds. He does not appreciate that the Hadley School had an opportunity to really engage their kids in a very different manner today, with people from the outside bringing BMX bikes in and looking how to have different conversations with kids on the first day. He disagrees with that. That is not a violation of any board policy, and I signed off on that, and you can hold me accountable to that. I want to see our kids engaged in very different ways than when many of us were engaged in school. Part of my day today was being here at Hadley and being at Lincoln, and I saw teachers throughout the buildings engaging their kids, talking with their kids, having experiments on day one with children in their room, mesmerized by their teacher and the learning that was occurring. That's what we want. There are no violations. There are no violations in the spending. I don't know if I can make that any clearer than what I've stated now. Lincoln?
Can I ask a question?
Please. Right. Yes.
I missed the last meeting. I was on vacation, but what I thought you said is in the last meeting that the policy, board policies, I just want to make sure we're all using the word violation correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So the board policy itself was silent on the need for written approval.
Correct.
Beyond 500 and 1,000, which previously that was what the violation was reported, that there was a need for written authorization that did not occur. And what we're saying is on review of the policy, that was not at all the case. It was silent on that, and we're going to change that.
I appreciate it. And that's what I said at the last meeting as well. I addressed each one of those issues. Again, it was silent on it. But we've made it very clear that each direct report will notify that individual, that cabinet member, that assistant superintendent or director or superintendent of any expenditures prior to that amount being spent at 500, or if you're spending funds over $1,000 during 1 month period of time. You must have authorization from the superintendent. We have followed that. However, the policy, the original policy, there were no violations because the policy was silent, as you mentioned. I appreciate you.
That's what I thought I heard when I listened to the tape. But then the other part of it I thought I heard was that all expenditures over those amounts are going to go through you, which, no offense, but that concerns me because that's a lot of going through you and sucking up your time when we got other things.
Until I can get the policy to policy committee for a minor tweak, because this is the one policy, we looked through many policies, this is the one policy that left out a really critical word, designee, superintendent or designee. In the current policy that was adopted, I believe in 2000, Maureen, help me, 11?
11.
I think it was 11.
Yeah, left out that one word. So currently, because I don't want to be in violation of anything, those pieces are coming to me until we can get it to policy committee to make that one slight adjustment.
So is there anything we can do to
expedite that
and make that happen and not go through the whole put it on the agenda, wait till it comes up, blah, 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 blah?
I would appreciate it. I will bring it to the policy. Sam and I meet tomorrow. We'll decide on a day that we can bring that to policy committee so we can just get it moving forward, because it would be nice. I appreciate it because it does slow down, because I have to make sure I'm looking at email all the time, ensuring that those are approved, because I don't want to slow down the organization as a whole.
And then my other question was going
to
be...
Well, John, just to wait, to add a little bit to that, the procedure that is accompanying that the policy change is already in place. What I understand. And so when the policy committee meets at the first of this month, that policy will be among the ones that we will address during the normal procedure. So
we have a commitment to get this updated by when?
Well, the normal policy procedure is we review the policy, then there's one reading in one board meeting, and if we really want to do that, I guess we could do a meeting in the Finance Committee and then do the approval at a board meeting, but I think probably the best route would be to have a reading in one board meeting and the approval in the next board meeting. So we're looking at 4 weeks. So I think that's expedited enough to stay within our system.
And then we will also, I'm not sure I saw the definition of what written approval means. I assume email will be defined as...
Correct. So currently, anybody who is spending that type of funds will email me. I'll email them back. We'll keep copies of that. That will be a part of the record. Correct, Bob? That's how it works.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Is 4 weeks? Is that going to be okay with you? Is it becoming due on us?
It's not yet. Now, the school, today's the first day with kids, and things will probably get just a little bit crazier. I'll be okay.
Okay.
I'll get through it.
Okay.
I'm a champ.
Okay.
Come to
it. We'll hold you to it.
All right. You can hold me to that.
Yeah, I think, again, not understanding so much the volumes and the amount of work, I don't know if it helps to set up a separate email for that, so that it's one box, you've got it, you can go through it at night or whatever, instead of sifting through your emails and missing one. But that's just an idea.
I'm pretty diligent with my emails for the most part. And those are ones that I get to. If it becomes a bigger burden, I will inform the board and we'll move from there.
Yeah.
Regarding Lincoln, I was notified the previous Sunday that we had an issue with insects, flying bugs of some sort in Lincoln. At that time, Bob was notified. We brought out two companies to review the situation to try to get it under control fairly quickly. Those companies came out, gave Bob he let them know what was occurring. They did not believe, because early on we thought it were fleas, Two companies both said, no, that's not what was in there. Could be gnats and other little flying insects like that. They put down traps. They were able to catch a number and, again, confirm that they weren't fleas, they were gnats. They treated the facility. We kept it closed for 24 hours, I think 24 hours, to ensure that we're killing all the bugs. Came back in. There were a few more. We went back through and did some of the similar, trying to ensure that our kids and staff are safe. That was our most important piece that we were looking at. We were able to, Linda was able to move the two teachers who were in the portable into the classroom. We will hold off. Currently, we will hold off putting any kids into that until, or staff, until we are 100% sure there are no insects, no flying bugs, nothing in that facility. I was in there again today with Linda. I was looking at the traps. When I looked at it this morning, there were none at that time. But we're going to be doing this on a daily basis, ensuring that we have a safe facility for students and staff. When it comes to the numbers, replacing a portable, it's just not as easy as calling up whomever you call for these things and having them come out and deliver it to you. There's a significant cost. And with this portable being at the end of its life cycle, and with some of the work that we're looking at doing for Lincoln, the work that would be done in 2 years would remove that one portable from that site. But I'll ask Bob to jump in here to ensure that I've hit the insects and the other aspects with it.
I think you've captured it.
Okay. But be assured we're looking at it daily. I'm there. Bob's there. Linda's there. Dave is in the facility. We're ensuring that is a safe facility for students and staff. We would not put kids in harm's way. We will continue to look at it. We'll continue to ensure that it's a safe place for our kids.
So, Paul, this awareness and remediation happened in 7 days.
Yes.
Okay.
We were hopeful that we would be able to have it remedied, but Linda, myself, and Bob all said, you know what, let's wait 2 weeks before we do anything. So nothing, you know, grows, and I'm way outside my realm of knowledge here with insects. So I will be struggling here a little bit, but we really felt like we needed to wait and watch, and Linda was able to make her schedule work. So it makes it a little more challenging. But she's able to pull off her schedule with what she's been able to accomplish using the building, the current structure, without that facility.
Now, if I was a parent in Lincoln, I want to make sure my kid's walking in. I trust you, trust but verify.
Yep.
I want to go in there. Can we, the day before it opens, the week it's going to open Monday, Friday, the day before, can we, I won't say an open house, can you just leave it open and keep an administrator, a janitor, or somebody there to say, hey, walk in there, you know, before school, take a look, we're here, after school, it'll be open, you know, it's open from 8 to 9, you can come in, and it's open from 3 to 4. Come in, take a look, feel free.
I think that's something we can probably pull off for you, and it's reasonable.
Exactly reasonable.
And we got a volunteer. That would be great. We are going to be communicating. I hope to have something out to the Lincoln parents tomorrow afternoon. It just kept changing, and I wanted to ensure that we had the right data going out to you as opposed to sending another letter on top of another letter with this. But we feel like we're in a good spot right now. Anything else? Okay.
Well,
sorry, on the portal?
Oh, no. Yeah, on the portable.
I did, yes, sir.
I just want to make sure Bob had anything else.
Well, I was just going to say, I am a Lincoln parent, as we know, and I want you to clarify the spaces that are now being used for the current classrooms and what they would have been used for. I didn't see Linda there, sorry. It's my understanding that the temporary STEAM labs that were going to be used this year. So, and I'm all for getting the kids inside and getting them out, away from that. But what are we going to use? The easy question is, what are we going to use for STEAM labs this year? Just kind of switches. And that's obviously dependent on the 100% removal, cleanup.
And we would bring the portable water stations in, and so they would have all the same aspects that they would.
The other thing was the materials in the classroom, the teacher's materials, were they taken out before the bombing or whatever you want to call it? Or were they left in and then removed? And
I'm outside my...
I don't know that we didn't bomb it. We had two different pest companies in there, and they did their work around that space, and we have received their assurances that the space is clean and clear of any infestation.
Well, then the other obvious concern is, well, something got carried inside, and now we have a bigger problem. Yeah.
They cleaned the facilities that you write down all the things that came inside, and of course there's books and things like that they were in there for a period of time. And everything else that came in, they write down early before they came inside.
Currently, because your teacher's been in there for a few days now, working within that room, I know the students were first day, but she has not had any.
She has not. She's very sensitive. That's how we knew initially that there was an issue. And she's very sensitive to violence. So.
Okay.
I guess my line of questioning was a little different in terms of, we came in, we threw some chemicals, you know, a lot of companies are good at doing that and assume it's safe for the kids afterwards, but when you know, portables are a little different structure, they have different retention of air quality and flow and all that, so we're sure that we didn't leave any chemicals behind that are going to be bad for the kids later on or get absorbed into the walls and start to smell and the kids smell that. I mean, we had that discussion with the company to ensure that whatever was used is friendly.
Yes, adequate type of chemicals to rid us of the problem, green, environmentally safe chemicals. Okay. And that's why we're giving it a little delayed reaction until we put students or staff back in there, just to make sure everything is.
So then, the other question for me is, you know, a while ago we used to discuss the portables, and the rule of thumb was always to, you know, put the kids in brick and mortar versus portables first. So I'm just curious as to the decision around, we put the kids in the portables, and now all of a sudden we can put them in the building and switch it around. I would have thought, again, not knowing the schedule, I would have thought the safest thing for the kids would have been to put them in the building to begin with and have the portables as STEM labs. But, you know, if it's a portable water thing, to me that's not a big deal. You do that. But why didn't we do that in the first place? And are we not thinking about what we used to think about, which was put the kids in the, you know, the brick and mortar spaces before you go out to portables?
I think probably
that's
literally how we made the decision. Part of it was keeping the levels together.
So is that the way it is at Lincoln? Because I know at Franklin it's that way. The four classes are together, so I would see why you don't want to split them. Is it the same way?
Okay. The second thing is that the portable classrooms are small. And when we look at the STEAM lab and Libby, and we do a lot of the science experiments in the classes of 26, 27, 28 kids, that was really something we wanted to a larger area so kids can really have an experience. So that was decision that you made,
because the way I understand it, the STEM labs are on the opposite side of the school, and what Dean was talking about earlier with the center, it's logistically kind of difficult to keep the grade level classes together. I had one other thing too, that, and I think I already know the answer to the question, but the STEAM labs weren't going to be used immediately anyway, were they?
The first 20 days, basically, teachers have come up with a plan for introducing and developing a classroom culture. They could be using the STEAM labs.
what they're doing now is actually doing things within the classroom. Well, we did have three parents doing level three today. We have science coming up in the classroom.
I can actually verify that because my fifth grader was in John Bauer's class, and she was the coolest experiment she ever seen. but not to say that. But so I guess what I'm hearing is that if we have the right company in place and the procedures work correctly, these spaces will be able to be used at the appropriate time. Maybe not the ultimate way to use them, but there'll be space available for STEAM labs for this year for Lincoln. So if Lincoln parents are out there listening, that opportunity is still going to be there. Okay.
And that'll be a part of our communication to the Lincoln parents.
Yeah, I just think we always should challenge, the notion of portable versus a classroom. And, even when we make the decision the way it was made, it's just you got to think of safety first, I think. So.
John, I don't disagree with that, but I think we have to also do a reality check that this was a freak occurrence, which is unfortunate, especially with the start of school. Nobody wants to start. But what it does point out with regard to the portables, to your point, John, is that we've known for the last year and two that we have these portables that are rolling off because they're at the end of their life cycle. So this is a reality check for everybody in the community and us talking about why we need to move forward with these decisions. So it's hugely unfortunate. And thank you for explaining the timeline, Paul, because I think it's important to know that as soon as this was found out, activity was starting to happen. There wasn't a lag. There wasn't a time where people didn't know what was going on. And I think that's just really important for us, certainly us to know as board members, to communicate that, but also for the community to know as well.
Absolutely. My other comment would be on the start of the school year. What a fantastic start within our buildings. Like I said, I was here at Hadley. I was at Lincoln. What wonderful starts to the school year. Met many parents, tons of kids. I was able to act like a middle school kid like I am, out front, high-fiving, giving fist bumps, and yik-yakking with kids. It was a wonderful start to the day. A lot of energy, a lot of nervousness. Kids trying to figure out which door to go into, and they're asking me, and I'm like, oh, you're asking the worst person in the world to ask because I have no idea either where I'm supposed to go into. A lot of great energy. And then I headed over to Lincoln. Again, met a number of great parents and students and had an opportunity to be there with students as they start their first day in our elementary. And I plan to be at the two other elementaries tomorrow morning. I'm going to run across the street to Forest Glen and be there early in the morning to greet parents and students and be a part of their school early in the morning. So it was just an incredible day. My team was out in full force. They were in buildings, staying in classrooms, and seeing the incredible work that our teachers, administrators are doing on a daily basis. So the CSO was literally cleared out, and we were in the buildings seeing the great work and all the planning that our principals have put in for the last few months to make this day happen. And I think many people think that this just happens, that all of a sudden students arrive, but it's not. It's countless hours that our principals, our ad teams, teacher leaders, parent teams are working over the summer to ensure kids have a successful transition. And we know it's so important to transition kids. And day one matters. Day one matters. And it mattered today here at Hadley that they had a unique experience. And it engaged kids. And I guarantee you, for many of those sixth graders who are really nervous about walking in here, that was an experience that they were able to drop their shoulders and say, wow, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool. The other thing that I thought was really unique as I saw commonality was each building, they were working on their PBIS, talking about how do we behave? How are we expected to walk in these hallways? talk in these hallways? How do we do these pieces of work together? And it's so collaborative. It was just it was a great experience, and it was today was the reason why I came to Glen Ellen, was to be a part of our students, our staff, and our parents. So I appreciate the opportunity to being out there. That is it for me.
Okay. Board reports. Board committee reports.
I do finance real quick.
Okay.
We just had a few things. We talked about the transfer from the education fund to the debt service fund. Again, this is primarily the fund for we do that every year to fund the debt service requirements of the district. Bob also went through the fiscal year-end review results on the giant screens.
Mm-hmm. Up here?
Yeah.
Very cool. And I'm sure if I'm fine, this will go to the full board.
Thank you, Drew. Any other committee reports?
This isn't a committee, but just during the Teacher Institute days, I was able to attend. It was about a half an hour, 45 minutes late into it, but it was the professional development morning session on multi-age teaching. And it was two teachers from the Schaumburg District 54 that started multi-age in 2010-2011. And both of these teachers have been involved from the start of their of the program implementation. So I took a handout. They did a deck of their slides. But all of our teachers were there and our staff. And, you know, just anecdotally heard very good feedback coming out. They really broke the presentation into two pieces. One was their the intention behind going to multi-age, and then they showed their district results starting in 2010 on their goal results, overall district ISAT results, and then the improvements that they made in terms of their making AYP, et cetera. And they also included, I think it was four videos of students that were recorded talking about their experience in a multi-age environment and, you know, recognizing the anxiety that a couple of these children had going into it and coming out at the end of the tunnel at the end of the year saying they're, you know, glad to have had these, you know, one was a third grader talking about a fourth grade partner, the other one was a fifth grader talking about a sixth grade partner because that's how their system is set up. But I was impressed with just being able to stand in the back watching our faculty and our staff really engaged, taking notes. There were times throughout the session where they had to talk and turn and, you know, engage with your partners. And just listening to some of the folks in the back, the teachers in the back, connecting some of the dots that they were presenting to what they wanted to be doing this year. So it was thank you for the opportunity to go, and just a good for me to be with Team 21 work, you know, listening to some of that. So it was a good morning. Very good morning.
Thank you. Team?
One of the things, it isn't a committee report, but I was able to attend the staff meeting that kicked off the year last Wednesday here at Hadley. And in doing so, I think Sam spoke in the beginning, and Karen, and Lori, and Paul, and I'm probably forgetting somebody. And but often I hear in the community that, you know, I just wish that we would handle this stuff more like business. You know, I wish you guys would look at it just like a business. And I've spent all of my career in business, and I would love to have the staff that this place has, and to see the energy that was in that room that day, it was electric, what was going on in the staff. They were more ready than any group of people I've ever seen to get going on this. It was like the kickoff of a big event, you know, in a company when you make an acquisition or something like that. So it was impressive to be there. A lot of times, this is where we interface, and for all of you sitting out there listening to us tonight, this is not always very exciting. That was really exciting. It was great to get into the school, see some of what's going on, and I plan to do like you're doing and get out to see some of the, you know, classes and things when they're going on so that we can support it. But I'm very impressed, and I hope it's an indication of how well we handle the challenges for this.
I would echo those thoughts almost exactly. The only negative thing that morning that I can remember was there was a big display, and there was a big logo from
some football team in Denver,
which they got a lot of views.
Somebody put a Denver Broncos.
Next Thursday night, baby. They only put the good teams on national
TV. There's no accounting for taste. There's no accounting for taste.
Any other committee reports?
Again, not a committee report, but I just want to bring up an item that I think is of interest, and a couple of board members have spoken about this individually. At our last meeting, I think it was, Bob Cicerella provided two new summaries for detail that board members will get. One is the check summary that has now a description of it. So in going through the expense summary, I just want to thank you, because I think that is very helpful. The other one is on our FOIA reports now. We have a request summary, all the same information, reporting period, date received, data response, request summary, and then another column, which we kind of talked about a year ago, but that you've added now to the FOIA report, and that is the staff time to fulfill the request. And over the last 2.5 months or so, we've had more FOIA requests than I would say has been normal for us. And so it's helpful for me, and I think this brings up actually something that John alluded to in terms of Paul's time, in terms of some of the detail of the job. But I think it's helpful because it surfaced for me that there is sometimes what I would consider and maybe an inordinate amount of time spent on a request, and to be able to know how that translates into dollars, because I think that that's a taxpayer issue as well. So thank you for doing this. I think as board members, it will be important to keep this, keep an eye on it in terms of transparency. And thanks for adding that.
Thanks, Erica.
That's it.
Yeah, I think if listening to the meeting, with the descriptions being out there, I do feel that there is a need to train around writing descriptions. As someone that deals with expenses all the time with teams of 40 people, 80 people, and 99.99% of the time I go through something that looks funny and it's usually legit and it's okay. But the problem is often rooted in the description was something that made me feel I needed to investigate more, or they didn't do it over a period of time and it all came together as once and it looked big. So I just think that with these descriptions, I don't know what technology you're using or not to enable that, but I heard the process was going to be that people write it out there and then you'll adjust it if you feel it needs more. And again, that could be a lot of work. So I think making sure people understand when they write that description, it's out there and it needs to be something that someone can look at and not make you say, gee, that doesn't pass a sniff test. Or, it's got to be something that's clear. Otherwise, there'll be more and more questions that arise from this. It's like unclear communication, right?
It could be that, John, but it also could be, that there's just a disagreement on spending the money on something, too. So it's, I agree with you, there needs to be clarity around it. But to your point, the greater the transparency, the more the questions.
Yeah. Which is why the communication has to be effective.
But I want to add, in Bob's defense, a lot of work went into this. We asked him to do a lot. He did it. Great first step. He's added a lot of data. The Finance Committee has already asked him to do some of this stuff that you want done. He's going to subcategorize it. He's going to categorize it. We'll flush it through. So we have the same concern. So he's aware of it, and it's a great start, but once you make a great start, you set precedent to be great. So
on that, it was going to be my other comment around the Finance Committee that
superior.
What the heck are you guys doing? Let's start looking at this stuff and making sure that it's
John, that's a comment for another day. any other reports?
No,
go ahead. Keep going.
Well, since we're all on the, this is not a, what is this, board report?
This is board reports, Sean.
Since we're all on a, this is not a committee or board report, I listened to the facilities, which I was not a part of. I was in Spain. And I wanted to quickly summarize.
You're referring to the facilities workshop that took place
on the 17th of July.
Okay.
So I was going to try to summarize what I thought you guys said.
Sometimes that's dangerous.
Oh, thank you.
What I thought the conclusions were, I'll start there, is that everybody felt that finding a parcel of land to build a middle school was the number one priority in terms of direction towards the administration of it. Number two was to move the STEM labs forward. Mm-hmm. And number three was, assuming one fails, to move to a K-5 option, which could be Spalding, Spring, and or another school. That's what I understood were the top three conclusions of that session. And I would just like to make sure that I understood that after listening to that tape, and that is what the conclusions were.
I don't think the third one is defined.
No,
it was not defined. It was either another case. If the middle school option doesn't pan out for a large parcel, meaning number one fails, mm-hmm. then we would look for a K-5 solution.
Meaning potentially building another school.
Could
or
be building another school.
Additions to the existing schools.
Right.
I think that's probably more a fair assessment.
Well, I'd like to know that, because what I thought was also clear is that building additions to another school, to the schools, was not in the top of the list.
Well, I remember
going K-5 in another location before additions was the priority.
I remember that a lot of these things were recorded, written down. And so I think we could probably, when the beginning of the year calms down a little bit here, mm-hmm. I think we could probably ask Dr. Gordon's staff to summarize what was written and what was done, and to put it in a report for us. I think
Absolutely.
That's probably fair.
So but for clarity's sake, because I know people listen to tapes and ask questions, I don't think we prioritized one, two, or three. We said these are the top things that we want to do.
Yeah.
We want to get more information so we can make a more informed decision. We didn't say we want to build a school first. We said that's an option, because the whole idea was there was 15 options on the table.
Yep.
What are we going to best utilize the administration's resources to further investigate and get that information back to us so we could possibly prioritize those topics?
Okay. So these were conclusions. I felt in listening to the tape that the middle school got the most votes from everybody.
Well, right. So just to clarify that, we all at the end of the meeting, we all chose our top three choices.
Correct. That's how I got to the three.
And those were tallied, and
that's how I got to the three.
There you go.
But they were straw votes.
But at the end of the day, we only went to the top two to give direction to Dr. Gordon and his staff. Because I think there's a tie for three, if I remember correctly, on the votes, and I went and listened to the tape and added the votes up again. So
that helps me, because one of the things that I thought was not concluded, or I thought one of the conclusions was not to build additions before K-5, and you guys are saying that's not the case.
No.
And then the other conclusion that was iffy for me, which goes back to my email, I didn't feel that you guys selected priorities based on fund balance. You selected priorities based on priorities. Given that the STEM labs was chosen, the other two of the top three, you know, highest voter items couldn't be supported by fund balances, so you didn't prioritize based on fund balances, which was, I think, part of the purpose of the meeting that I disagreed with. But it sounds like what I wasn't sure is there a conclusion that says if we move forward with the STEM labs, we're absolutely funding it out of fund balances? Or was that conclusion not reached?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. That was unclear in listening to the tape. So.
And I did reiterate that today from my perspective of that meeting earlier today when we were talking about the $300,000 allocation.
Okay. Good. So I would appreciate, and in the tape there was a commitment to return a deliverable within 2 weeks of the meeting, and I haven't seen anything. That's not unusual for me, so I don't know if there's something out there, but I do think that we need to come to a deliverable from that meeting so that we can clear up some of this confusion and make sure we communicate properly.
Well, John, one of the deliverables is actually what we voted on tonight, which was to determine that due diligence around getting the information that we did with that $300,000. Right. So that was one of the deliverables.
Yep, we had just committed to some other deliverables within 2 weeks that have not been distributed. So.
The other deliverable was the engagement plan that was delivered almost to the day on 2 weeks. That was a major aspect of our conversation. Wasn't about Paul going out and getting land. It was about Paul going out and having conversations with other people in the community, other stakeholders, and that was delivered. The two things.
That was a one-page attachment.
It was. It was. Anything else that I was supposed to deliver? I'm pretty good with deliverables.
I can sit down with you and just, based on listening to the tape, what I thought would come.
Okay. But I can also do what Sam has requested in kind of putting together a whole document of that evening. But from my perspective, it was, you know, continue investigating, you know, the flexible classroom spaces, the innovation labs, and start engaging again with certain, you know, certain stakeholders within the district. From Erica's point of view, at times to maybe put closure, because there were points in the conversation last year that I was not a part of that closure needed to be brought to, or maybe other possibilities, and are there other stakeholders out there that would partner with us, and at times in a very different way than just a land acquisition. So I believe I delivered on those two pieces for the board.
And a couple other points. In the meeting, it was discussed that the boundary committee came back with a recommendation that we do not redistrict the district. And my recollection was that's not what the boundary committee came back and said. They said that...
Is this from several years ago?
Yeah.
What someone made the comment that the boundary committee report said that we should not redistrict... Whatever plan we move forward with, we shouldn't redistrict kids. And I felt the boundary committee, which I believe I was on, said we were looking at how we could change the boundaries to better balance the existing schools. Mm-hmm. And they came back and said that there was no real solution to do that and to add any benefit.
Right.
But not do not redistrict District 41 ever. So I just wanted to clarify that. If someone were listening to the tape, it sounded like they said that the boundary committee basically said you should never redistrict, which that's not what they said. That was not my interpretation of what they said.
And I think I might have chimed in on the boundary and not to the committee, because obviously I wasn't there or have any knowledge of that conversation. I just reiterated that we need to be very thoughtful about any time you're reboundering a small
yes.
district like this, because it will impact every student. If you add one elementary to the district with an 8 mile radius district, you're going to have fingers that will run throughout the district, and many people will be impacted. That was the only caution that I put out there, that I've been a part of that.
It's one of the hardest and most difficult things that you.
It is. I've gone through two, and they are a challenge. Not that they're undoable, but they are just a challenge. That was the only cautionary tale I put out there.
They are still on the table.
Yes.
For clarity's sake, minutes, everything's still on the table.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then I did appreciate that my email was passed out and it was acknowledged by some board members.
Mm-hmm.
Although my email, the purpose of my email was to make sure you guys understood my priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a comment made that I didn't support the workshop. I did, and I did not feel it was the most inappropriate workshop that was ever had.
Again, I think that was mine.
Which was another comment. So I just want to make sure you guys understood that I was supportive of that.
Okay.
And I'm listening. Thank you.
Thanks, John. I attended the CIT, which is the Continuous Improvement Team meeting, last Thursday. It was the first meeting of the team for the year. There were a lot of new members, including myself and Dr. Gordon and others. So we went around the table and introduced all of us. We had an update from the Professional Development Team, PDT, on the 2013-14 Professional Development Plan. That was Mrs. Campbell, I believe, did that. And we also spent the bulk of our time providing suggestions to Team 21 and Karen for the content formation of her, their report to CIT, which is, help me remember when that report is. September 16th is CIT, and then CIT CIT will then use that information to present to the full board on what date is that? I can't remember.
I think the deadline for our recommendation of the board is November.
Sometime in November. Okay. Okay. Moving on. Discussion items. Proposed changes to the regular board meeting format.
So this is something that I brought up last week, really looking at how to ensure that closed sessions are happening at the beginning of the of a board meeting, and really trying to ensure that they're taken care of within about 30 minutes. As I've gone through the records of it, generally your closed sessions are 30 minutes. But at times, some of your previous board meetings have run late into the evening, and I'm always concerned when you're making some of those most critical decisions that, you know, you're as fresh as possible. So one of the pieces that I presented would be to look at doing finance like we did today from 6 to 6:45, 6:50 to 7:20. At 6:50, you would open the session because we have to open it, but then we would immediately close it to go into closed session. That would run from 6:50 to 7:20. And then 7:20, it would be closed. 7:30, we would open the regular session. So my thinking is just to ensure that the board are making those decisions with the freshness of time and being able to hear directly from staff members who are also fresh. Many of the negotiations or whatever the conversations may be are detailed, and it's just one way that I would like to, I'd just like to bring that forward to the board for your consideration.
So you're saying close all closed sessions from 6:50 to 7:20?
Correct. And that way it would not impact the community. The community would still interact with the board at the same time. There would be no change to the public. The public would still come in at 7:30, still do public comments. So they would, it would all be behind. It would be starting at 6:50 to 7:20.
But if we didn't finish closed session,
right.
Thank
you.
We would convene afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
To clarify that, John.
So we're not...
Start, and if we finish in that period, then we can be finished. But if not, obviously we'll go back into closed session.
And we would...
Sorry.
Well, as you guys know, I can't support that just because getting here at 7:30 is usually a challenge. So I would not be able to attend a closed session, but would ask my questions in the post-closed session.
Well, if there was one.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
Yeah.
I just want to get some feedback from Finance Committee.
Yeah, I have been on Finance since I started on the board. I think I reiterated this, Sam. You have to be on a Finance Committee where we actually went short. I think we had two agenda items today, and we landed at 45. I think, for me, Finance is a topic that I enjoy talking about. You know, some people like art. I like finance, and I think I like delving into some of those questions, and I just feel that the meetings and the conversations we have had in finance have fleshed out some good, positive work that we've seen fruition to. Can we try to make it as tight as possible in 45 minutes? Possibly. But I think the ramifications of those are, if I'm not comfortable with an agenda item on the finance committee, traditionally it's usually one finance committee and it goes to the board. I won't be able to comfortably feel that things, if things have vetted out, I'm going to hold it in finance. So things may be delayed than they traditionally are to meet this closed session agenda time change.
So for purposes of our discussion, finance is normally 6:30.
Six to seven. 15?
25.
Well, what is it?
Somewhere, I believe it's
7:15?
6 to 7:15.
Yeah.
Okay, and then our regular meeting starts at 7:30.
Right. 7:30.
Okay.
Now, toward the end of the year,
Well, sorry, Drew. Hang on. So, Patrick, you'd be against shortening the Finance Committee meetings, but how about having the closed session at the beginning of the regular board meetings?
I'm okay with that.
I'm fine, too. I mean, I think if you do, you could do public participation if you worry about community members' time and then go in closed session, or you could just start with closed session and people know, you know, we'll arrive later.
Sorry, Drew.
For the end of the school year, finance gets cut back because we really don't have as much to talk about toward the end of the year. So, Bob, I think what, about half the year we cut it back to about 6:30?
Yes, we do.
So we start real strong and then it kind of trails out.
They go along with when you start talking about capital projects, budgets, and money. And after the first of the year, they have a tendency to shorten.
Well, I can see that changing next year because we're going to have a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about with this building buildings and building land and retention ponds or water ponds or whatever we do hold the water.
Water retention.
There you go. Well, you know, all of that stuff. So, you know, as a steward of the people's money, I need to be comfortable with that.
But just a clarification, those meetings are actually finance and facility committee meetings, not just finance. And that's the important point to make, is that we have a facilities issue, and those meetings at 6 o'clock are about finance and facilities. So we may not have many agenda items, but we definitely have a facilities issue. So we can spend a lot of time talking about facilities and vetting out a lot at those committee meetings. And I'm there with you, you know, at those meetings, and we've used, besides this meeting, every minute we've had allocated. But Patrick, you said this, so I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I agree with, I'm willing to try this, and we can condense it as much as we can. I think we just have to be careful of our agenda items, and if we need to meet outside sometime to, you know, and do a special meeting one day just to get a special item, then by all means, let us do that to stay within the schedule. I understand what you're trying to achieve here. I think it's the right thing. It's a good goal, and change is good. And you do a little bit of change, and we don't like it, we can always kind of modify, go back. So I'm willing to give it a try to condense the finance and facilities committee down to 45 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what the history is of having finance facilities before the board meeting, but I know since I've been on the board, it's always been in that kind of order of operation. The policy committee has always met just during the week, either early in the morning or, you know, whenever those committee members could work out the schedule with the superintendent. So I'm wondering if we, you know, try this. But to your point, Patrick, and I agree with you, I think there's a deep dive that we need to do sometimes that needs that extra voice. And sometimes it's getting questions to Bob in advance so you can get that data, you can go through it. I mean, I think that's a piece of it, is trying to get at some things that you know are going to be more rigorous to talk about. But maybe to Joe's point, you could think about building in one extra time during the busy times that your schedules might afford. Now, you have three board members, so it's an open meeting. Mm-hmm. And so it would need to be held in a place where there would be, you know, availability to the public. But
it
could be an option.
Paul, did you get feedback from board members that they weren't fresh during these discussions, or what? I've never felt
individuals who were like, "Wow, it's 11:30." Yeah, the last couple 11:30 occasions, I've had one or two individuals, and also staff members. I honestly say it's hard to present at 11 o'clock at night on a very detailed closed session agenda item, and to make sure that we're hitting every point possible. Without going into detail around a negotiation, there are many items that are brought to you that you have to weigh in on. And it was 11-ish.
Yeah. I've always felt that we could move that part up in the agenda so the staff can go home. I mean, I've never understood why we keep them at 11 on the board. But moving the meeting earlier to kind of like just add the small work.
So, Drew, Erica, and Joe, what are your thoughts on the moving the closed session to the beginning of the general open the general board meeting?
I think the way it's laid out, if it doesn't interfere with our regular board meeting time at 7:30, that I think it's worth trying. I mean, there may be times, John, when you can make it, depending on your work schedule.
I will not be able to make it.
Okay, definitively, every single
very
time.
Very clear on that.
Twice a month.
Well,
the next. Okay.
Let's not get hung up on that. So
anyway,
I just want to be clear.
I think it's worth trying it.
I concur.
Dean, I'm sorry I didn't ask you because you didn't speak yet, but
I'm all for giving it a shot. I think it's a good idea. I've asked other boards how they do this. People in different schools, they seem to be a little bit amazed that we'd be doing a closed session, you know, after 10 o'clock at night. It's not a great idea. It's our rule that we have the finance committee on the same day as the board meeting. I think the idea is to keep these with public interaction, get to the business of the board, and get out of here, and not make this an eight-hour day that starts at 6 o'clock. So.
I agree. I want to make it real clear with Patrick. It's like if you don't think we're accomplishing things on a timely basis in finance, we do have options. We can have a special meeting, or if I'm willing to try this. If we find that Patrick, that you feel like we're not accomplishing the board finances work, then I think we need to immediately say we need to find a different solution. But I'm willing to give this a shot.
Well, I have a little different take on it. I guess I sort of agree with Patrick in a way in that I also feel that this year and probably the next two or three years there's going to be a lot of things to talk about and a lot of topics that will be going through not only the finance but the facilities committee as well. So I would prefer that the time stays the way it is for the finance committee. I also have some time constraints as well, as we all do, and we're sort of used to the time for the regular meeting. Excuse me. So I would like to keep the schedule the way it is, but I would I do think it's a very good idea to move the closed session topics to the beginning of the meeting, maybe even delay it just a little bit, have the public participation before the closed session, and then go right into the closed session with the time limit, which I think will be helpful in many ways we're not even thinking of, and then come back and do the rest of the regular board business with the caveat that if we don't complete our closed session work, we can do that at a later time. So I'm a little different than I guess everyone else, but I think I hear the consensus of we can move the closed session sooner. I'm not sure I heard a concession as to, or a consensus, excuse me, of what we should or shouldn't do with the finance committee meeting. Is that fair to everyone or not?
I'm a little confused on where we ended up, but.
So I don't know if we ended up anywhere other than to move the closed session to the beginning.
What I heard you say was finance probably needs the time, and we shouldn't cut it short given the priorities coming next year or this year. We should start at 7:30, do public participation, go into closed session, and come back. That's what.
Well, that's what I said. But yeah, now I'm asking.
I think the three members of the finance committee, Patrick, once again, we've all said we can try it. 45 minutes, and we'll try it. We'll give you guys feedback if we're not doing it. So there's other ways to get around that, like another meeting, like you suggested or I suggested. If our schedule allowed it, we would do that first before we came back to you guys and said, no, we need the hour and 25 minutes. That's what I said. I think that's what you said. That's summarizing what Patrick said too. So we're willing to give it a try. Unless I misspoke, Patrick,
I'm concerned. I'm not concerned.
There's some trepidation.
Let's be cautious. But again, change is good sometimes. Let's try to do this. If we can achieve what we need to achieve. But I just think next year is going to be a full agenda, and I'll be the first one to pull the chute and say that this has to
we'd expect it.
Okay, so the 6 to 6:45 works for the Finance Committee members, logistically as well as length of time? Is that what I'm hearing? Okay. Now, do we want to start the regular board meeting at 6:50? That concerns me a little bit in that it's not on the hour or half hour, just for members of the public to plan their nights, or for me to remember that I have to be here 10 minutes earlier so I don't forget. So what are our thoughts on that section of the proposal here?
I prefer to start the meeting and goes right into closed session. Let us get that work done first, then come back to open session and start this meeting. So we could do that and get it done by 7:30. We can have people who want to come and make comments, get through our board work, and if there's more people who want to do it, it's still a reasonable time for them to get it done.
So
whereas if we start... If we have people make comments in the beginning and they want to make comments again at the end, now they have to sit through our closed session. They have to leave and go back. So I think making it easier for the community would be to say, let's just start the meeting after the, open it, go into close, open it again, and then start the meeting.
So what I'm hearing you saying is 7 o'clock to 7:30 closed session, and then 7:30 open meeting?
That gives you 5 minutes.
We just picked up 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We need 5 minutes.
We have to get ready.
And probably if we get into closed session at 7 o'clock, we'll probably get through it by 7:30.
I'm with you.
We'll stay real tight.
We'll make a commitment to that.
We'll stay real tight.
We'll be fresh.
Okay.
Because that's an agenda we get to control, where public participation can vary. Mm-hmm. So we don't really get to control that.
Okay, so then we'll try that. Paul, what meeting did you suggest that?
September 23rd would be the first one.
Okay.
That we would try it.
Can you make that work?
That's okay.
Well, and we'll try it. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll reassess.
Okay.
Okay. Upcoming meetings.
Is that something we need to vote on, or just do it?
We're just going to do it.
Yeah, that's one that does not need.
Upcoming meetings. September 3rd, 2013, special workshop, 6 p.m. at the Central Services Office. September 9, 2013, regular meeting, 7:30 p.m., also at the Central Services Office. An informal reception to welcome new staff will precede the meeting at 7 p.m. September 23rd, 2013, Board of Ed, regular meeting, 7:30 p.m., Central Services Office. Other matters. Are there any other matters to be considered?
Can I just ask, we have two other meetings, though, right? In this time period, we have a September 3rd special board meeting.
Yeah, I mentioned that first.
Oh, did you? In there, September 3rd?
Right. The September 3rd special workshop.
It wasn't on my agenda, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
The September 9th regular meeting, September 23rd regular meeting.
And at September 18th, we have a Glenbard combined.
Correct.
Okay.
We do. Thank you for that. And that's at Marquardt School. At what time does that help?
it's
a special.
Maureen, any remember with a Glenbard?
Six
is it 6 o'clock at Mark Court? Okay. 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock is 6 to 8. Is that what you had? Patrick?
Thank you.
6 to 8. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other matters to be considered before the board? Okay, public participation. Is there anyone that would like to address the board at this time? Mr. Rath, I see your hand up. Is there anyone else other than Mr. Rath? Mrs. Bach, did you fill out your sheet and turn it in? Okay. Anyone else other than those two?
Anybody else?
Mr. Buchholz, okay. So, which one of you would like to go first? Okay, go ahead, Laura. Just speak.
And that's one thing that I brought up last year when we were having the 4 million meetings about the team reorganization. One of the things that we brought up was we're doing all this at the elementary level, and we're kind of ignoring Hadley. So it seems. I've never heard the whole last year of my daughter's team. I never once heard the word team or staff mentioned in any Hadley materials that came home, any Hadley meetings that I could see. And what I did hear last year was that the science teachers don't even do labs because they only have a 45-minute science class, and they don't have time in labs, and they've been asking for years for longer science classes. And this year, they still have a 45-minute science class. And special ed science students do not go into the lab. They have them in their specialized classroom. They are not even fully yet committed to use the science lab because there aren't availability. So they try and conduct experiments in their classrooms. So it just doesn't disconnect to me. We're a K-8 district. We're not a K-5 district. We're talking about K-5. We're making all these changes. We're going to spend money to look at adding on all these innovation labs in our elementary school. What are we doing? I mean, you know, what's the point in doing all this? Because it's great, and then they get here, and it's not being carried on. At least, maybe it is. I'm not aware of it, but they're only getting 45 minutes. That's it.
Thank you. Good points. Mr. Rath, are you ready to go?
And this is going to be more off the cuff, so I will be trying to let you know. It's no secret that I have been opposed to teams that this year, but I was part of the group that met with Dr. Gordon a couple of times over the summer, and one of the things that we discussed was how are we going to know that this process is actually going to work? And some of the things that we're bandied about were a new rubric was being created to measure, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is where we measured. My question was, all right, well, is that going, how is that going to be communicated to the parents? And then another way to collect information on how well this is working was how often kids might be out at schools, getting to know people and getting their information. Well, now, after that second meeting that we had, my internal wheels were turning, and they were working overtime about, all right, you know, not everybody's going to be able to meet Dr. Gordon, but not everybody's going to have the chance to. So how can we best get out to these parents who need to communicate how this year is going with them and the kids? And I thought, well, why not put a site, a survey on the district board of our website? I mean, it's been brought before that we should survey the community for any number of things. So being in the IT world, I know how easy it is to put together a survey, get it up on a website. And I'm not familiar with what tools the district has at its disposal to do this, but it's certainly, I think, a way to reach the parents that don't come to these meetings, aren't able to make special events that hit the schools all the time. But my second point was very simply, is there any way that we can get teacher assignments next year online rather than through the mail? I think, number one, that could save districts a lot of money on postage. And number two, not everybody gets their mail on the same day or is in town the day that it comes. So I think more than 90% of people would love to have it online, be able to access it online. And those people who don't have the online access, you can still send it to them.
Okay, thank you. Kurt, are you ready?
Yeah. My concern is that I just heard a board member say we cannot physically go to a closed session. Somebody that's elected by us, somebody that could possibly represent concerns for the stakeholders, and basically what. So that's a concern for me that if he's saying you can't make it, the policy as he was elected was to meet afterwards. I don't know. Seriously.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, adjourn to closed session. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity, collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, discussion of lawfully closed meeting minutes, whether for purposes of approval by the body of the minutes or semi-annual review of the minutes, and the placement of individual students in special education programs and other matters relating to individual students. May I have a motion?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Ellis, second by Mr. Kenwood. Roll call, please.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr.
Tennessee? Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Black?
Yes. Motion passes.
Okay.